I don't get a chance to play up front very often, but I tell you, today was really fun because at one point you could hear you all singing, and it just fills the sanctuary. It's just gorgeous. I know I've shared that before, that even from the front, you can hear you sing, but it reminds me that there will come a day when all of us will sing in the presence of the King, and we will have a song to sing that will be awesome, just awesome. So it's so fun to be able to practice it now. You know, just to all be practicing, you know? I don't know if you've ever been to a church where everybody's like this. But it's so nice when we show Christ our love for him by singing praises to him. And the scripture tells us we'll have a new song to sing, a new song to sing. You know, one of my favorite parts in the scripture, or in the Gospels, is the calling of the disciples. And I think I like it because Jesus assembled around himself quite a potpourri of folks. I mean, there were people like Peter, you know, you get the impression was full of vim and vigor, you know. He was kind of impulsive at times. And then there were people like James and John, the sons of thunder, okay, who sound pretty tough, but who have to have their mother speak up for them, okay. And then there's people like Levi, who's essentially probably looked down upon by the others. He was a tax collector. He was probably a cheat. Certainly thought of as a man of treason. And then there was someone like Bartholomew, who we don't really hear a whole lot about. So Jesus assembled this crew of people around him. And he had a plan. He had a perfect plan that he was going to execute to the praise and glory of his heavenly Father. And he didn't choose the greatest. He chose a potpourri of people like you and I. He chose imperfect people to gather around him and to take this three-year journey, a journey that led him all the way to the cross and in a place when even those disciples that he had seen him do miracles and the like, they actually turned away from him. And yet he knew in advance and he called them to himself. And I think it's very encouraging to know that we today are still called to Jesus' presence to carry out the Lord's perfect plans, as imperfect as we all are at various stages of our lives. And so when I see a group of people who come together feeling like they are led of God to participate in a short-term missions trip, it excites me. It excites me because every person he calls is a little bit different. They're not cookie cutters of one another. They are their own individual. And that God intends to work in and through each individual to bring about his praise and glory, to bring about what he has planned for them in that time, whether it's in Senegal or it's in Havasupai or it's in Chicago. So this morning, we're going to introduce to you the gang that has stood up and said they want to go to Chicago and do the work of God. And so I'm just going to invite the summertime missions team to come on up and join me up here so you can meet them and we can ask them some questions, put them on the spot. Okay, so we're going to be sharing mics today. So we're going to, you can't hold on to it. We're going to pass it back and forth. So first, we probably should have everybody introduced. So we'll do this randomly. All random. You.
Hi, my name is Cassie Monaco, and I'm one of the leaders.
I'm Lucas. I'm one of the students.
Anna, one of the students.
Ruthie, one of the students.
One of the students.
Okay. Can we pass this down here?
Told me it would be on.
Yes, I did.
It's on.
Okay, thank you. I'm Robin. I'm one of the students.
I'm Sierra. I'm one of the students.
I'm Evan, and I'm also one of the students.
I'm Jayla. I'm one of the students.
I'm Keegan, and I'm one of the students.
That's right. So why don't we start with, why are we going? Keegan?
Yeah, so it's a fascinating question. No, I think it's in obedience to what Matthew 28 calls us to do, right? And what the hope is, at least for Cassie and I, is that this is a foundational thing for the students. And so these eight that are going are not pioneers. Actually, I noticed some of the pioneers here, some of the older students that started this 5 or 6 years ago. But the hope is that in partnership with the parents, that we can build this foundation of kids who love Christ and they want to serve him, whether they're serving him in Chicago, whether they're serving him in Senegal, or whether they're serving him across the street to their neighbors. So that's really that's the focus of this. So we're excited about this trip this year.
And what will they be doing?
Yeah, so this is a unique trip for us. Historically, you know, we've been to D.C. and Baltimore. We've been to Jersey, and we've served with certain missions partners there to do, different tasks that people needed. This actual trip is actually really unique because we're going to actually be learning a lot about three different religions. The area that we're going to in Chicago is called Little India, and it's in the northeastern part of Chicago. And what's unique about this is in Matthew 28:19 it says, "Go make disciples. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations." And so, what our students are going to be introduced to, and I think Cassie and I as well, are Asian Indians that are Hindus, Muslims, and Sikhs. And so, I am not familiar with any of those religions per se. I know them on a surface, but and I don't even know if I know of any Hindus, Sikhs, or Muslims. So this is we're gonna learn about not only these religions, but we're also gonna be in an area that is filled with the Indian population, and we're also gonna serve at a soccer camp where there's Indian kids. So our first missions trip 5 or 6 years ago, we had a pastor, Pastor Mike, and he said, you know, the one thing that you need to do is, when you're on missions, no matter where God's calling you, is that you need to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. And so and there's a lot of truth to that, as much as that doesn't make sense, but is to stretch these kids. That's what we hope to do. And then obviously build that foundation so that they will be disciples of Christ for eternity.
Thank you. Thanks, Gary. Yes. You jumped. That's right. There's more scary coming.
Oh, yeah.
So he just said a calling to being comfortable with being uncomfortable. Have you heard that all before, you guys?
Yep.
Okay, so why did you decide to do this anyway? Anybody?
I think it's a great way to grow in your faith, and like, you have to trust God with stuff, and it's not necessarily something like you're going to be comfortable with, but you just have to trust that you're doing what God wants you to do, I guess.
Okay, so there's something, there's like a catalyst that happens. It's when you're uncomfortable, you have to trust Him more.
You can either trust that you're going to, you know, that you want to do what you want to do, or trust what God wants you to do.
Okay, any other thoughts on that? Being comfortable with uncomfortable?
I think you can't grow unless you're outside of your comfort zone a lot of times.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of truth to that. When you're pushed just a little beyond what you think you're capable of doing, it's amazing how God is at work. Have you ever experienced that before? Have you ever had that experience before? What do you think?
I definitely had that in the last missions trip I went on. It wasn't the one to Jersey, but the D.C. one before mm-hmm. that. That was my first missions trip, and I definitely grew a lot because I was uncomfortable. So I went on that trip kind of because I wanted to, mostly because my parents wanted me to. But
that made you uncomfortable?
That made me uncomfortable, honestly. But I wouldn't change going on that. It was definitely a very positive experience, and a lot of the reason I grew was because I wasn't comfortable.
Okay. Now, how many of you have been on a trip before? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, good. Now, for some of you, going on a trip is at least something you're familiar with, okay, even though the site may be a little different. For those who are choosing for the first time to wade into these waters, why? What made you decide to take that step? Anybody? Ruthie's got people in the background. Ruthie.
Craig was the one who convinced me to go this year. He just said it would be a good opportunity for me to grow and connect with the rest of the group.
Okay. So it was the influence of one of the youth leaders?
Yeah.
Okay. Did he offer you money? Did he?
No.
Okay. I just checking. Okay. So basically, Craig just said, he came to you and said, I think this would be a good thing. And you bought that.
Yeah.
So what is it about? What was it about that offer that sounded intriguing?
He just said it would be a good experience for me.
Okay. So it was just the fact that it would be a good experience that drew you. How about over here? Hi. You thought I was going to hide from you. Why go?
Well, my stepdad signed me and my stepsister up for this fun experience, but I'm excited to go.
Okay. So it was under the influence of some faithful adults in your lives, which I think is really cool, gang, that there are faithful adults reaching out to others saying, hey, have you considered doing this? Have you thought about getting just outside yourself just a little bit and trying this? I think it'll be good for you. How wonderful it is to be a part of a church family where others are looking to other folks saying, hey, this might be good for you. This might be a good thing. And, you know, I think it says a bit about living our lives in the Lord, that we're always supposed to be looking around us, trying to encourage others to be drawn into an ever-deepening love for Jesus. And that's partly why we live for him, to draw others closer to the Christ. So that's really neat. That's what drove you there. So now, how have you been preparing yourselves to go on this adventure?
Hey. So, for starters, as a group, we've been having these meetings every other Sunday, pretty much, as a group, and going over what we're doing there, and going over certain things that might be useful there, learning the Apex tools, and there's this thing called the Simple Gospel that we've been learning, which is the easiest way to explain the gospel to someone who doesn't know it. I think that's very useful for any situation, not just in Chicago, just learning how to articulate the gospel and not take forever on it so people don't lose their interest on it. But me personally, how I've been preparing is just trying to disconnect a little bit from just where I'm at right now in my life, so I can be a little more open to going place somewhere where I am disconnected from my life. And I think it's a really good way to embrace the opportunities that might come up in Chicago.
Okay. So the training, would you all say the training's been helpful? Something that kind of getting you ready for this? Do you find yourself nervous at all about the trip?
I'm definitely nervous. I'm nervous.
You're nervous about the trip?
But I'm nervous because it's a semi-new thing. I've been on the DC one, but each missions trip is different. I'm nervous because it's a new environment, but I'm also looking forward to it because it's a new environment.
Okay. So it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
And I think most of us would feel that way. You know, it would be nerve-wracking to do something new and to be stretched, and at the same time, you know, that's kind of what drew us. It's always this push-me-pull-you, you know? Sometimes I think we tend to look at adults and we tend to think that we really have our act together. And for the most part, that's probably not true. You know, that we're kind of waddling our way through life too, trying to figure out the new stuff and the old stuff and trying to make our way. So you've done some training. You're heading off to the wilds of Chicago. And so I'm wondering, what is it that you think you're going to gain from this? What do you think God might do in you?
I think that he's going to teach us different ways to interact with the different religions, because we're going to learn about the new ones and how to see what their angle of the view is on them. So they could be but I think this, and you can counteract that on why Jesus is Lord instead of whatever they believe.
Okay. So it's going to teach you a new way of communicating.
Yeah.
with other people. That's pretty cool. Anybody else? What else do you think God's going to be doing in you? I think Evan's got.
I think it's a really great opportunity to both learn more about ourselves and the other cultures out there and bond with the team, make good friends, and ultimately for God's glory to share Jesus with a different culture.
Mm-hmm. And what's your hope? What's your hope coming back from this?
I'm hoping that just like the last trip I went on, that it is another transformative experience, one that brings me closer in relationship with Jesus, and one that not only by serving in the different community are we helping them, but we also are strengthened as a body of believers, as a team.
Okay. And have you learned anything? Have you learned anything about your walk with Christ through the training times? You've learned some practical skills, it sounds like, but I'm wondering, have you seen any change in your walk with Christ just as you prepare for this time?
I think it's definitely different for me, especially from the first trip I went on 4 years ago. You just learn to, you have to just trust him because you don't know what you're going to do there and you don't know what's going to happen. So I think coming back to, it's just like taking that aspect of just trusting him in your daily life with you, because you don't just leave that there. You have to.
Yeah, so you learn to be settled here, like to come in into new experience and go, hey, I remember how we did this in Baltimore. Remember what we did? We were still and we let God lead us. And that has real practical effects for the day-to-day stuff here. Anything else? Anybody else find themselves grown at all in the last weeks as they prepared for the trip? Okay, that's fine. So what is it that you think you need prayer for? How can this group of believers be praying specifically for you?
I think prayer for our safety and our well-being obviously is very wonderful to receive. Not that I doubt that Keegan and Cassie will make sure we don't get attacked or anything. But definitely also prayer for our impact on the community. Mm-hmm. Like, okay. Less prayer about ourselves, but about the people we'll be serving. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that it's not just like we're there for a week and then they forget about us. Hopefully it has lasting impact for them.
Mm-hmm. So prayer for Journey Mercies and safety and travel and safety there, and then prayer for the folks that you're going to be ministering to. I think that's really important for us to keep in mind. We're not just praying for these students. We're actually praying for those who are going to receive the message. We're praying that God will open hearts and minds out there, that he's already prepared a man or woman of peace, that someone that we can connect to that may be an open doorway to something far beyond what the students will experience. Other things we want to pray for?
I think for boldness, like when we have those opportunities to talk to people, that we would take them and listen to the Spirit and act on that and have those opportunities.
Yeah, I think that's a really good one, Gordon. To be praying that you will not only be aware, not only aware of those opportunities, because sometimes we make our way through and it's only hindsight that we see we had the opportunity. You know, we look back and go, oh, I missed that. They asked this and I just kind of was doing my own thing. So you want that vision and that peace to be able to see it when the opportunity arises, and then you want the boldness to step into the arena. You're not the heroes. You're just bringing the message. You're not a salesman. You're just telling the truth. You just speak in the truth. And I think there's great freedom in that. Other things we can pray for?
I think for stillness too, like if you're having a conversation with someone you don't know what to say, if you're just like still and let him do the work and just trust that he's gonna do what he's gonna do.
Yeah, there's a lot of power in just being still. Just being still. And not thinking you have to answer every question, because you can. Sometimes just walking with someone through an experience is one of the most powerful things you can do. It's pretty amazing. Oh, anything else that we can be praying for? How about leaders? Any? You leaders need prayer for anything? Or want prayer?
Sure. well, we have to drive a long way, so I guess that Craig and I can keep each other awake, which won't be an So yeah, our safety. But also, we're going to be partnering with another church from Minnesota. So we ask for prayer for that youth group. And I love seeing the kids interact with other kids and making those friendships and those connections. So I just pray that they'll work well with them and form some lasting relationships. I know 2 years ago when we went to DC, we also partnered with a church and they just bonded right away. And it was so great to see. And I know for me personally, that brings me joy. So also for the other youth group that's going as well and traveling all that way as well.
Keegan?
Yeah, I think so. Our ministry partner out there is called South Asian Friendship Center. They are in the heart of Little India. They're the Christian organization that ministers. They mainly do like ESL and things like that. And then it's similar to what Susan and Danny do. And then they try to, you know, squeeze in the gospel there. But I think we can pray for that partner. I think it's important that we realize that there are so many lost people. And so in this community, they're really small. So pray for our ministry partner. Yeah, pray for the church that we're staying at. And, you know, just that everything goes smoothly throughout the week. But also that this, you know, I think that this just has a long-term effect on our students. That this is an eternal thing. They can bring this to heaven, and this also glorifies God in the process. So pray for that. And you know what? One last thing. The parents.
Yeah.
I think it's a big deal when parents are obedient and they're willing to allow their children to go on a short-term missions trip, because there's a lot of moving parts to it. And so there's a lot of preparation. And then you go to a foreign place, and then there's, in this particular instance, there's a fairly long drive. So there's a lot of moving parts to this, and so I can't thank the parents enough, past and present, really. But the present parents who are being obedient to saying, you know what, I want this foundation. I want to give my child this foundational, these elements to their journey with Christ, and are willing to do that. So prayer for that.
Is there anything anybody thinks that the congregation should know as you leave for this trip? Any bit of wisdom or something that you think? Yeah, wisdom. Yeah, he's laughing over here. What would you like them to know?
We're thankful for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's true of the congregation as well. This is serious business. It's really significant that you're going, and you go not only representing our Lord, you represent your families, and you represent our church family. And it is it's really a gift to us to see younger folks being willing to step up and take on that challenge. That's a great encouragement. Sometimes we hear negative things about people your age. And sometimes it's easy to think that the world's kind of, you know, falling apart. And then we have an opportunity to look and see students who have received Christ and want to serve Jesus and are willing to step up and be bold. And that encourages my heart. So I'd say thank you. Thank you for that. So we want to send you off in style. And so we want to pray for you. So what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to invite Scott and Lynanne to come up as well, because I think it's pretty neat that you have lifetime missionaries here who can pray over you as you start on this endeavor. So they're going to come up and they're going to be over here. So if you guys can come in a little bit. And I'm also going to ask if a mom or dad wants to come up and just be a part, you're welcome to come up. So mom or dad, anybody want to come up and stand behind these students? We can move up just a little bit, give room from behind us. Sir. So I'm going to open us. I'm going to ask that Scott and Lynanne would then pray over you, and then I will close us, okay? Congregation, will you bow your heads and join with us where you are? Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would grant us a spirit of prayer as we come into your presence. What an awesome thing it is to be allowed to enter into a relationship with you and then to be allowed to participate in the things that you have desired that we do. We come to you in weakness and sometimes anxiety, and we just bring who we are, the totality of who we are, and we ask that through the power of your Spirit, you would minister to each and every one of these students, guiding them and directing them in the coming week. We pray, Father God, that you would fill them with your Spirit to make them bold, unafraid, and willing to lean into you when they're feeling anxious, knowing that you are faithful and true to your word, and that you are the one who's empowered them. You are the one who's declared that you've given them everything they need for life and godliness through their knowledge of you, who's called them by your own glory and goodness. What an awesome God you are. We thank you for this team.
Serve you, follow you. When you were on earth and you were training the 12, you sent them out, and then they came back. You used that as part of their training, and they were a blessing to the people they went to. We ask that as you send these young ones out, that you'll be preparing them for a life service for you, whatever it is that you call them to do. Thank you for them, Lord. Thank you for their willingness, their desire to follow you, to serve you. We commit them to you in Jesus' name.
Oh, Father.
Amen.
Now, Father, we just thank you for them. We lift up the moms and dads represented in each of these households. We pray that you give them your peace that passes all understanding as they release their sons and daughters into this mission. We pray, Father, for the church family as a whole, that we would be standing behind them in prayer throughout the coming week, that we would be lifting them up, lifting these students up, and rejoicing in what you're going to be at work doing in them. We pray that you would have each of these students be in your word, that they'd be seeking you first, seeking after your kingdom and your righteousness. Because, Father, unless they're in your word, unless they're communing with you in prayer, unless they're feasting upon you, the truths of your word, Father, they will be working on their own power. And so we just ask that you would just strengthen these students in their times in the word, and that they would delight in it, and they would rejoice in the fact that every time they open your word, they get to feast on you. They get to allow you to pour into them. Show your abundant and lavish love for them. Now, my brothers and sisters, as you head from this place, taking the gospel with you, taking the love and the care of the church community, I pray that the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift you up and give you his peace, now and forevermore. You are beloved in Christ. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Congrats.